Reigns versus Kurt Angle's son. Miz versus Enzo. Cena versus Strowman. And speaking of which, Braun might as well go to Disneyland because he just had the best Raw ever.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Is there anything more appropriate to start with on this episode of the Raw After Show? I think not, because Braun Strowman did something that no person in the history of professional wrestling has ever done in one night, and we will get to that in just a second. Are you playing that rap video still?
Yes, you are.
You are. I heard
she doesn't even want to be here. This is garbage.
I didn't.
You're totally playing that rap scat video.
I exited out of it, and then my media came back on.
I'm trying to do the intro here. It's Welcome everyone to the Raw After Show and AfterBuzz TV. We are here. Raw is in the books from Anaheim, California. Now they're on their way eastward to Vegas for SmackDown, and also Vegas next week. That is a little
It's a weird way to go, but friggin' whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's going to tell them where to go and what to do?
Yeah, nope, Vince McMahon will.
That's right. It's kind of like they bounced off the ropes.
You go wherever I tell you to go.
He'll tell the states to shorten up the lines in between. We're coming to Vegas, so you better make it 2 hours instead of four.
As the crow flies.
As the crow flies.
Or what's the phrase when you go, not in a straight line, not door to door. There's another phrase.
Well, I mean, as the crow flies, is straight. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not following a road.
So
as the crow flies.
That was
weird.
They're going to Vegas as the crow flies.
That's right.
Heck yeah. What's up, everybody? Let's get to the intro. I'm Johnny Laquasto. Back for, I missed the last 2 weeks. We had Labor Day and then, what the heck? I don't even know.
Well, we all missed last week.
We all did.
Yes.
We did no Labor Day.
That was Labor Day.
We decided to, you know, for Labor Day, let's all just not labor.
Not here. Mm-hmm.
There was still a show, just we didn't do an after show of it.
Yeah. Right. Well, speaking of which, we are not going to be on Christmas or New Year's, even though Raw apparently will be.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Enjoy that paycheck.
Bless them for their work. Bless them.
Yeah.
I mean, even a Christmas story, I apparently couldn't change that around. They're going live on both holidays. What are you going to do? What's up, everybody? Johnny Laquasto here, at Jay Quasto on the social medias. That man right there, he's actually, number one, he's incredible when it comes to Second City and comedy and all types of other things. He's also going to be involved in producing Booker T's live heated conversation show immediately after No Mercy out here in Los Angeles at the Lucky Strike Lounge. It's going to feature who? Kurt Angle
will be there. Corey Graves will be there. RVD will be there. And a lot more names are going to be announced.
Yeah.
It's all at BookerTLive.com. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the Southern California area, or if you're coming in for No Mercy, this is going to be a special show for hurricane relief. If you've been affected by these hurricanes, we're thinking about you, and you know you saw Booker T talking about his own experience, you know, in his hometown tonight on Raw. He's going to be coming to do this special live podcast with those guests and more at Lucky Strike in Hollywood just after No Mercy Sunday, September 24th. So join us. Please, tickets start at just $10.
There you go. And we're going to take donations and everything. We're all going to be there. And so it's going to be a really great cause and to help as many people as possible. So moving on, the man next to Mark Warzeka. Did I even say your name? He's Mark Warzeka, by the way.
Hello.
And now you know.
Yeah. The man next to him is a former Hollywood Heritage Champion from Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. He's wrestled all over the globe, including for Raw, for SmackDown, for NXT, and done all types of other many, many things. He is the Boxcar Superstar. Find him at True Hobo. He's the Hobo.
I've been around. Yeah. Wish I could say I have the kind of run that Braun Strowman had tonight, but...
Well, no one has.
Yeah.
No one has.
He's got a freaky genetic thing going on for him. That's cool. Wish I had stilts to wrestle on, but I don't. I'm shorter than most guys in WWE.
From what I've heard from Warzeka, when you two helped her move last week.
They did. The Raw crew helped me move, y'all, Warzeka, in 114 degree weather.
Warzeka said that you are a beast.
Oh, yeah. I'm 230 pounds. You know, at 5'10", I'm a little like fireplug.
Yeah.
So at least I got like width on my side. I can't go up, but I can go sideways.
That's more than a fireplug could say, I can tell you that much.
Yeah,
he lifted my antique bureau just like over his head.
What the hell is
himself.
An antique bureau?
It's a
old investigative
dresser? It's an investment. Yeah. Yeah. That's what it is.
And we played
that
the Braun theme song when Hobo lifted it up. We went, Braun!
And it worked.
Yeah.
And it
worked. No, that's it everywhere worked. I go. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Whenever I lift things above my head, people scream.
They should. They don't know if you're going to toss it on them.
Yeah, they go, blah,
and most
blah,
of
blah.
The time, it's hard not to.
Yeah.
I have to pull back.
Yeah, have a temper.
You want to catch it? You want to catch it? Bro! Okay, maybe not.
Yeah. You got to do what the voices say. And next to me, you can see her every single week on Marvel Movie News as well as Screen Junkies News. Find her everywhere at Markeia McCarty. She's Markeia McCarty.
Yes. I'm happy to be here. It feels like we've been off for so long.
Yeah, it's been
but
a couple
it's only
of weeks.
Been, it's only been a week. Well, yeah. It's only been a week for us.
Are you enjoying your new place?
I am. Good, I am enjoying good. My new place. It's a perfect location for me, close to everything that I love, mm-hmm. you know, and it's very private, which is very cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You see the Hollywood sign. I noticed that.
Oh, yeah.
Not too far.
Oh, we must be.
I haven't explored a lot outside yet.
We might be
I'm
neighbors.
Trying to get it right.
Because I moved over the weekend, and I also see the Hollywood sign.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, maybe. If we both see
well,
the Hollywood sign,
well, you know it's
sign,
up on a hill, right?
It's a big hill.
Yeah, it's you can see it from quite a ways.
I don't know. Did you guys secretly move in together?
Well, if that's the case, I certainly wasn't there to help move in. So.
Are you guys going to get married?
So anyways,
sounds like a yes.
Guys, we cannot be on chat roll right now because Braun Strowman apparently also destroyed the Wi-Fi. So Tony, if we could we get the chat roll up on the big screen so we can kind of see what people are saying. So we can't actually interact with you via, you know, texting and keyboard and everything. But
our loss, really. I'm sure you have great things to say.
Yeah, I'm using my data to have the chat room open. And I will say that everybody thinks that we're late because of Johnny.
What?
Okay, say that's not what happened.
First, I know, I guarantee it's Haywood saying that.
And I see Montserrat Ureldon house party at my place.
There you go.
As in my place.
So here's the deal, guys. The new rule is we got switched to 9 p.m., not our choice. That's what we had to do. And then the show before us went like 15 minutes long. So wasn't me. I was raring to go, y'all.
Yeah, like raring. Now.
So...
Yes, I did, Maria. I did break a lamp.
Break a lamp.
I like that.
Good luck.
Haywood Wong, Johnny and Markeia Nah. That's like Marvel versus DC.
I mean, that'd be kind of fun. But yeah, I did break a lamp, and then I wrote a song about it on Instagram story, so she must have watched that.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. Anyways, let's get started. A lot of good matches tonight. Starting off with Roman Reigns taking on Jason Jordan, and hot damn, double Northern Light suplexes, very physical. And say what you will about Jason Jordan as a character thus far, there's not a lot to it other than being Kurt Angle's son. Man, can he bring it in the ring, and Roman Reigns did the same thing as well. I'll start with you, Mr. Hobo.
You know, like we've been saying the last few weeks, he keeps getting amazing opportunities. And arguably, not because he earned it. We're not sure why he's getting these upper-level opportunities. You can't say that he's not really bringing it in that ring.
He
pushed it last week against John Cena, this week against Roman Reigns. He was such a house of fire at one point. Roman Reigns did nothing but just take offense from Jason Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't seal the deal. He cannot actually close in on the win in any of these matches.
Yeah,
he really should rethink and go back down a peg and start working his way up instead of working at a level that he can't meet and keep racking up losses. But I guarantee he's going to have another high-profile match next week because he's Kurt Angle's son, and that's what nepotism looks like.
This kid is a loser.
Oh,
okay.
My God. That side of the table.
Poor Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle won an Olympic medal, a gold medal with a broken neck. He won the WWE Championship in his first year in the business, and now he's got to watch this loser kid lose every single week. I feel sorry for Kurt Angle. You know, he should take Jason Jordan out to the woodshed and say, you're fired.
Send your...
You're fired off Raw, and you're fired as my pretend kid.
Aren't you a dad with a son?
Send your tweets to Mark Warzeka. These do not...
You have to live up to certain expectations if you want to be in the Angle family.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Why should Kurt tolerate this kid losing every single week?
I mean, Kurt didn't even speak of it tonight, to be honest.
If it were any one of the Hart kids, Bruce Hart would have eaten him. Or what was the father's name?
Stu Hart. Stu would have stretched
him. He would have eaten him like Cronus. Just, whole damn kid.
That the dungeon would have been extra dungeon-y if that was the case.
Right.
Well, I think that we watched different fights, bros, because what I saw is that I saw this, a young upstart that,
lost.
He got his toehold in the ring because of, he's progeny of, let's say a demigod. Mm-hmm. but what I saw was that you have to raise the bar to be able to surpass the bar. And how is he going to do that? Is he going to do that with going against people at his same level? Or is he going to do that against veterans? And he has this opportunity to do that against veterans and to get the respect of those veterans, because we know he did that with Cena. We know he just did that with Reigns. So I don't see the problem here. I'm okay with him having another big profile match, having his butt handed to him, and then going back to, other matches and then handing that butt to other people.
But where's the line? At what point do you say, okay, you've been given enough opportunities, you don't deserve any more because you can't win.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's tough. He's fighting an uphill battle. He's fighting some of the best of the
best.
It's
against veterans. Do you even expect for him to win?
I expect
for him to learn and to do a really good match for us. I enjoyed these matches. That was a good match.
Sure was.
Sure.
Is he drinking his milk? Do we know? Kurt Angle needs to show up with that milk truck.
Well, no, there is a milk truck at the house. Sure.
Okay, all right. Okay, good. I mean, all right, then there's really no excuse.
Yeah, he's got
he can suplex anything. I don't think it's a question of enough milk. I think he's getting enough milk.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's necessarily ready, and I think he's gotten a push from Kurt Angle into situations that he just can't seem to get on the right side of. Yes, he's learning a lot, but he could burn out on his way to actually trying to attain a victory.
Which is what I'm hoping happens, because, look, Jason Jordan, he's a great human being. Everyone knows that. He's very dedicated. He's a ridiculous next-level athlete. But, look, when it comes to the WWE, you've got to have more than that. You need to show a personality and a character, and obviously that hasn't quite happened yet. Him and Gable, yeah, they had something there. Guess what? Not anymore, because Gable's on SmackDown. He's teaming up with Shelton Benjamin. Mm-hmm. Now, Jason Jordan's by himself with his dad scheduling these matches. I hope he does get burned out. I hope he either has to turn to desperate measures and get frustrated and maybe start cheating for the first time in his life, because now he's finally at a point where he's not the best at everything like he probably has been. That's what I would like to see. A different side to maybe bring something out of him. Kind of like John Cena, what he's doing with Roman Reigns. Forcing Roman to start talking.
Well, Jordan has got fire. It's just a question of, are things going to head in such a direction that the fire presents itself in some negative ways? It starts taking shortcuts.
Yeah.
I can guarantee a shortcut might have actually pulled out a victory tonight. Just a couple of well-placed, advantageous spots. He could have actually pulled out a victory against Roman Reigns. But right now he's playing the good kid. And I don't know how much longer he can sustain that without actually getting anything out of it.
Well, nonetheless, Roman gets the spear for the win, and then shortly after that, John Cena hits the ring, and they sound off on each other. Well, I'd say it was probably 70-30 Cena sounding off on Roman. With a
That's
couple
being
of
generous.
Yeah, and then he closes the whole thing when he said, "Look, I'm just going to put it to you like this, just like a drug test, you can't get past me." Mic drop. Like, whoa.
Ooh.
Like, this was getting, we talked a few weeks ago about how really real it was getting.
They still are real.
This was, I mean,
really real.
When Cena said, "Hey, Roman's going to bury himself," I'm like, "Come on, man, don't." Come on. Don't say that.
But I think Roman did get to sort of the heart of it for the first time tonight. He said, "You're here. You're not because you want to be. You're here because your ego's damaged. You can't hack it in Hollywood. So you've come back to the place where you actually are somebody. And that's why you're here, because you can't hack it on that level. So all the stuff that you're saying about me is true about you on another playing field."
Right? Sure.
Think that actually, that did some damage. Might have actually punctured the armor of John Cena tonight.
I mean, there are rumors about John Cena being cast as Shazam, but until that does happen, or if, then you're right. Then the whole Hollywood thing is actually a pretty good dig by Roman.
Yeah.
So.
Wait, instead of The Rock?
And The Rock is playing Black Adam, supposedly.
Oh, okay.
It's all up in the air.
Those two characters are rivals in comic book world, right?
Yeah,
they are. Yes. So we'll see how that goes.
And Warner Brothers announced the movie's going into production in early 2018. They have not cast Shazam yet, so.
Wow.
But if they did for Reigns with that, then that would be a really nice build-up, like a pre-promo promo.
No, we're talking about Cena being cast.
Cena being cast in it?
Yeah.
Shazam
is like Cena.
Shazam. Okay. Well,
Shazam ain't no Samoan.
Shazam's also a giant child. And
John does look like a giant child, and that's what Shazam is. So, physically it works. But anyways, John Cena once again, I mean, he's trying to, I don't know how much of this was scripted. I really have no idea. It's impossible to know with Cena. But once again, he's trying to get stuff out of Roman Reigns and trying to get a fire under him, and Roman refuses to go away from that monotone voice.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Mm. I mean, previously, my theory was he just needs a bloody handprint. Like, he needs something to realize that it's not his face out there or, like, some sort of mask. And now it's just like, I don't know. You have Cena in your face digging deep and digging hard, and you're just still...
Yeah, you also have all week to think of things to say to him.
Yeah, you know what I mean? and so does the writing staff.
At a certain point, it's just like a roast, and like roast you can be prepared for because you know who you're going to be talking about.
Right.
So.
And look, we've all been in that situation before, like, you know, even dating back to elementary school. You ever get like picked on by two or three kids at once, and you know you're a relatively smart, articulate person who comes up with clever things to say, but in the moment you're so overwhelmed, you're getting ripped on, and all you can do is just be like, nah, you, and that's it. That's kind of like what's going on. And yes, that happened to me. That's where it's going.
Yeah.
But like, it's kind of like...
Oh, it's got sad.
No, not sad. Hey, look. I'm doing...
Hey, I always came to the defense of people that were picking on other people. So.
You did?
Yeah, no, of course I did.
So if you were in the crowd tonight in Anaheim, you would have jumped in the ring and said to Roman and Cena, well, stop this, please.
But in that case, I think Roman needed it.
Roman, every time they have these exchanges, there's a moment where Roman just looks exhausted.
Yeah.
Just like, like he can't muster the strength to come up with anything that's on Cena's level to say. And it gets that gut shot. He just goes,
Yeah. Oh, it's like the weight of this whole push not working for the last 3 years hits him all at once.
Yeah. It's pretty much how it's going. I mean, nonetheless, I think No Mercy's shaping up to be a hell of a card.
Yeah, out of nowhere, this is like this random B show that we've got here in Los Angeles in a couple weeks is like this huge show now. I'm more excited for this than I was for SummerSlam. I think the top two matches are really intriguing.
Even Neville and Enzo, because God knows what Enzo's going to do.
Well,
he's going to get squashed. Well, I mean, as Neville, but I think Enzo might end up like pulling a Mike Tyson and like biting Neville or something.
Just bite his ear
just,
off.
Like,
why not?
Like, he might just snap.
It works
and become
for me.
Feral.
Yeah, it does work for Hobo.
Yeah,
you become feral Hobo.
Yeah. No, sometimes you need to. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to throw somebody off their game, especially a guy who's as good as Neville. Not moving ahead, but just saying. If you're fighting a guy who's proficient in the ring, what's the best way to get into his head? Just start messing with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not even making it personal. You just get in the ring, and you lock up, and then you just take a hold of that ear, and he goes, what the hell was that? And you just keep doing it. Just get in his head. Now he doesn't want to be near you.
Now, granted, most of...
Wow.
These ear bitings began before he got in the wrestling
room.
Okay.
But he still utilizes them.
We're talking like train yards and everything.
Hobo is a lifestyle, right? It's not just in the ring. It's a sort of lifestyle.
It's a minimalist lifestyle.
Yeah,
I don't have much. I travel a lot. I like it that way.
If someone's taking too long at the bank, bite their ear.
Yeah.
Get them out of line.
Leg or their wrist or anything. Yeah. They call me Patient Zero.
There you go. The boxcar superstar, a.k.a. Patient Zero.
Gone into diseases now.
Sasha Banks taking on Emma. This didn't last very long. Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax on commentary. Sasha wins with the Banks stay. But nonetheless, though, this happened last week, which we weren't here to talk about. Mm. I am way more intrigued by this Fatal 4-Way than I would have been just for a singles match between Alexa and Sasha.
Oh, really? I feel the exact opposite.
Apparently, you all do, too.
I'm just so tired of Fatal 4-Ways.
Me, too. And I love the turn a couple weeks ago. I love the evolution.
Yeah.
Electric chair up on the shoulders.
Nia
Jax dropped Bliss, and that made
it's
me
like,
really
guess who's a pancake.
You. It really sold me on seeing them one on one. I want to see that match.
But that wasn't going to be It was going to be Alexa and Sasha, was it not? If my memory serves correct.
She had the rematch. We know that.
Yeah, right.
But she had just
Alexa
won.
Nia, sure.
Alexa just won.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, she's lifted up by her new best buddy. Oh no, wait, they're not buddies.
Yeah. Thumbs down, Evolution style.
Sure. Yeah.
But my point is, I'd rather see the Fatal 4-Way than Alexa Sasha again because I think you know Emma keeps getting it handed to her every single week.
Yeah.
Now, as much as there's been hot potato with this title, it would not shock me for Emma to come out with the title, which would be something very...
Whoa.
I think they would have a debut
happen during it, and that might be something. And then she comes in...
Who could be coming up to the main roster from NXT, perhaps?
They took that surprise away,
that's for sure.
Who could?
Only if it actually ended up in a title change would I enjoy seeing this. Because they tout the Fatal 4-Way for the championship too often.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, the champion could lose it, and they don't have to be even involved.
Yeah,
never friggin' happens. Like, stop it. Stop saying statistically, yeah, it's harder for them to hang on to the championship when every freaking time they managed to hang on to the damn thing.
I will say this. With a Fatal 4-Way, you have more possibilities of multiple storylines kind of emanating from that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Mickie James mean something again. She's there. She's great. Mm-hmm. She looks incredible. What is the reason on our television every week?
Hey, did she ever do that hashtag? Remember a couple weeks ago she said...
Oh, yeah.
If she lost the match, she was supposed to, like, tweet whatever Emma wanted her to tweet or whatever.
Did that ever happen?
All right, maybe chat will know. Chat, help us. Did she ever actually do that?
I do not know. But yeah. I'm excited for the Fatal 4-Way, just to see what happens and see what could stem from there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, seriously,
the newcomer comes in and, like, you know... sits on Emma and then gets the title, and then her and Mickie James are best friends. And then there we go.
Maybe. Well, Alexa and Mickie already were buddies on SmackDown. That already kind of happened too, so who knows? Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar. Once again, Paul Heyman just bringing that thunder. Fighter, are you ready? Just kept yelling it over and over.
That I felt that really built things up. I started to get really anxious when he started yelling that. I'm like, oh, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, and then it happened.
It did. Braun Strowman hits the ring.
Yes.
And just, I mean, there's one German suplex that, Braun didn't even feel it. Hops right up.
He felt it. He was a little wobbly, but he still got up and got right in his face. Yeah. You can pretend it didn't hurt. Baby, it hurt.
Yes,
but he still got up.
And he decimates Brock Lesnar. I mean, did he do a choke slam followed by the power slam, I think?
Yeah.
Whew. Brock Lesnar, man. Can't say enough stuff about him. And Braun Strowman, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But then he stands over Lesnar holding the title. Mm-hmm. I mean, this just makes you that much more excited to watch this match.
Yeah. I think it meant so much more, too, because we haven't seen a ton of contact between these guys since this match was announced. They've done a good job of, for the most part, keeping them away from each other. So this was a cool moment. Yeah. I'm always surprised, going back a second, when the Brock's music hits and he comes out. Because when I see Brock, I think then I'm not going to see him again for like 3 months.
Right.
Like, literally, every time. Now he's on Raw like every week for a while. And every week I'm like, what is he doing here?
Yeah. Like, rewind a few weeks ago, we were like, oh, yeah, part-timer champion and such. And I was like, yeah, every 2 weeks we see him.
Yeah.
And he's like throwing hands. He's like, all right.
It makes you wonder if they're just going to like cash out his dates and that's going to be it. This much. You never see him again after this.
Anything's possible.
Yeah, they're going to have to tap addendum in his contract.
I think Lesnar's having so much fun right now. You can just tell. He's really enjoyed himself. Mm-hmm. So, and what does he have to prove? I mean, John Jones challenges him to a fight and then gets popped again.
Yeah,
so it's like... At this point, Brock has nothing to prove.
Yeah, Heyman has stopped teasing that Lesnar may be going back to UFC.
Frank Martinez in the chat room was apparently in Anaheim, and he said, she was announced for Raw.
Yeah, it was on.
I know, but it was
they ruined the whole surprise.
Yeah,
Frank said the crowd in Anaheim was hot. I couldn't really tell. They seemed kind of well behaved at least, which is good.
Mm-hmm. You mean no smarky chants? Is that what you're
saying? You don't usually get that in L.A.
No.
We're an entertainment type audience, so you're going to get a lot of people sitting kind of quietly. Yeah. They're a movie watching audience.
Yeah. We're more just like over it all.
Yeah.
Sitting there with our vegan hot dogs.
Right.
Yeah. The whole crowd in L.A.
My non-gluten beer.
The whole crowd watching in L.A. just thinking about moving home. All right. So, yes, that was something else. Bray Wyatt defeats Goldust, which brings me to my next question. Remember weeks ago where Goldust promised that he would find his next new starlet? Yeah. It didn't hit me until tonight. That just never happened. Yeah. And then Goldust not only lost to Bray Wyatt, but then got his face paint wiped off.
It happened. It's called the Mae Young Classic.
Oh, maybe that's
it's
what it
all
is.
Of it.
The winner gets to be Goldust's new starlet.
That's the prize. That's the prize.
Congratulations. Well,
congratulations, Kairi Sane.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it now.
I'd actually rather see Shayna Baszler try to be a starlet. That'd be hilarious.
Oh, my God.
It would be funny, actually. Her with Goldust.
Wow.
There's potential there.
I can see her in the vacated Cody place where she's like, yes, I feel the key.
That'd be something else. But yeah, so that never happened with Goldust, which is a bummer. And then, you know,
loved his gear though. That collar was all the way popped up.
Uh-huh. That was a nice
that
robe.
Was sweet.
It was really great.
Yeah.
And I think he brought it tonight to Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
This was the sharpest looking Goldust we've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. I think he felt, this is a young cat. I can really go with this guy. And he did. He brought it. He got lost, but he looked like $1 million up there.
He looked good.
One of the most seasoned veterans on the roster. A lot of people, a lot of veterans attached to the show and are friends of his go, does the man age? Does he ever slow down?
I think someone mentioned on commentary, maybe it was Graves, that said, you know, he really has found the fountain of youth, which it's true. Guys like him and Jericho, they just in
it's DDP yoga. DDP yoga.
Yeah.
Yeah, that yeah, they probably
heals your soul.
They probably don't work a day in their lives because they're doing what they love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just very that true. Joy.
Oh. And then Finn Balor makes the save, so it looks like at No Mercy we're heading towards Bray versus Finn Balor minus the Demon.
They announced this as man versus man, which seems like the reverse of what it should have been. Shouldn't it have been the man first, and then you bring the Demon? Now you bring the Demon, and then you go, man, maybe I don't need the Demon anymore. I'm good.
Didn't you and I both say this about a month ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, they went back. They went in reverse.
Yeah.
It's like Batman beat the Joker, and then the Joker goes, yeah, but can Bruce Wayne beat me?
Right.
And then we go,
or the other way,
I don't know, who cares?
Or the other way around, Joker's like, well, I'm going to become a comedian again. And then he has to fight the stand-up comic version of the Joker.
Oh, wow.
All right, Sheamus and Cesaro, they say they're going to make Rollins and Ambrose turn against each other because they don't set the bar, they are the bar. So that's another match at No Mercy. It's going to be pretty badass. Leading into Sheamus, Cesaro taking on Gallows, Anderson, but uh-oh, fight breaks out. Because Rollins and Ambrose are already on commentary. All three teams duking it out, including Gallows and Anderson and Sheamus and Cesaro. After the commercial break, backstage, Kurt Angle says Seth and Dean can find their own tag team partners tonight for an 8-man tag match.
Mm-hmm.
I loved this little segment because it was just like the two of them just talking-ish on the, like with their little binoculars. They were like, what was it, Sattler and...
Sattler and Waldorf.
And Waldorf, except they had their butts handed to them, so some more butt handed.
They weren't even involved.
Well, you can't talk, you can't start ish if you don't want ish to happen.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's, I blame the bar more than anybody.
No.
You've got opponents in the ring. Shouldn't you go and handle your business first and then take care of the clowns who were just talking? Because the guys who were talking, they're not going to start anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know it. Go handle your business. Send the message by beating up two guys who you're already supposed to beat up.
I like that they bonded together with the guys that they were supposed to beat up you know, Mystery Science Theater 3000 over there.
Although before this, Bar cut a great promo backstage, saying basically everything that I've been saying for weeks, how Ambrose and Rollins are not a real tag team.
Yeah, that was a great promo.
And Anderson are actually a bigger threat to them overall, which is 100% true. Yep. Those two aren't even, they're not cohesive. They're not a good unit. Granted, they balance each other out, but they're not a unit. Not yet.
And he said they are more selfish than any other superstars or a team out there, and they're going to bring that out of them. And that's what I love about this. There's stuff going on.
Yeah.
And they got cool taxi driver jackets.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
I forget which commentator said it. Maybe it was Booker, but they were like, that the two of them, and I mean Cesaro, turned a business relationship into like a real relationship, well, yeah, like a real friendship.
Mick Foley put them together for, and they hated it for a long time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But now it's just like, I forget what they were like, you know.
It's like a rom-com.
Yeah,
they hate each other. And then all of a sudden they realize that they work well together, and then there's sparks flying.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, you can write the rest at home.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
So the aforementioned Asuka, apparently, you know, we were all excited to see when is she going to show up? Where is she going to show up? Will it be a surprise? Nope.
Will not be a surprise.
She's going to be on Raw.
Yeah.
Unless she turns up on SmackDown, and then we'd all be surprised.
That would be pretty awesome.
Maybe it's just swerve. A super swerve.
So her debut's going to happen during the Fatal 4-Way, and she's going to pin Emma, and then she's going to be the women's champion.
So it'll be a Fatal 5-Way?
Yeah. It'll still count.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow it'll still count.
Weirder things have happened.
Yeah. It'll count. Mm-hmm. Because so. I say so. Because I want it.
I will say, I think Asuka's a better fit on the Raw roster. I think the women's division there needs more, I don't want to say more help, but it's just, to me, the SmackDown women's division is more intriguing right now.
I agree that I think the SmackDown's women's division is more interesting right now. Yeah. I'd love to see Asuka versus Charlotte eventually. I mean, but I'm sure they'll get there at some point later.
There's going to be a shake-up.
But they could use a little, the Raw women's division could use a little fresh blood right now, I think, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She would definitely be it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I was excited. I mean, it kind of spoiled the surprise of it, but I was definitely mm-hmm. excited to when I saw this. Like, oh, damn!
Yeah.
Because I've been following her for the longest time. Her entire NXT career. She's never lost. Mm-hmm. Never been defeated.
Nope.
So this is a real prospect.
Mm-hmm. And also, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, right, Hobo, on the main roster. Like, does she stay undefeated? How long does she stay undefeated? That'll be interesting to see.
I don't know. It's
yeah.
Whenever there's the transition from NXT to the main roster, there's always a little bit of growing pains. But I don't know. She was just so dominant in NXT. She absolutely owned every moment that she had in that ring, on the screen. She was a champion. She was Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
She had a palatial estate. She was, as I called her, the murder fly.
Yeah.
All of the colors, but still as deadly as anything.
Which is why I think, you know, the moment she sets foot, it's going to change everything with the Raw division, the women's division, I should say. So when? Who knows? That's the question.
Yeah, and Marie Annette, thank you, in the chat room. Mickey on August 29th tweeted out, oh, right, I almost forgot, at WWE, hashtag Emma's new entrance song is awesome as her wrestling, hashtag give Emma some personality, hashtag grow up Emma, hashtag, hashtag you got lucky.
Nice.
Yep.
Thank you, Marie.
That's why I love you. Put her on TV.
Thank you.
Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax backstage. Alexa wants to be best friends again, of course, and Nia says, yeah, you might not want to be my best buddy after I tell you this. I requested a one-on-one match with you, and Kurt Angle said, yep, and that'll be next week.
Mm-hmm. That's giving everybody what they want, but not quite the whole.
It's a non-title match, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would have to be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Whole protein cookie.
Gotta have that whole protein cookie.
What are the Larrys? What are they called? Lupe Larrys?
Lenny and Larrys.
Lupe and Larrys. Lenny and Larrys.
Yeah. No, I wanted them to save this for a moment when it actually counted, so I'm a little disappointed. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Agreed.
With nothing on the line, what's going to stop Alexa from just walking out? Why would she do this?
I don't know.
Why would she engage in such a thing? Why doesn't if this does happen, I would be really surprised.
Right.
She shouldn't want to fight Nia Jax in the least.
Nope.
Yeah. Injure herself before the pay-per-view where she's facing three people for her championship? What are you, lost your mind? There's no way she
look.
Whoa,
she's going to walk out and hit the tables in Vegas. Yeah.
No, she hit the bricks in her matches with Sasha Banks.
Mm-hmm.
She'd take a count out and keep the title. She's going to not even show up. Why would she show up? Don't even come.
I agree.
Alexa, do what you want to do. Just don't go.
And that actually might happen. It is Vegas. Anything stays. Or yeah. What's the phrase? Whatever.
Anything stays? No, I want that. I want that to be Vegas' new thing.
Anything stays in Vegas,
anything
y'all.
Stays. Anything stays.
Nothing goes. Anything stays.
Exactly. John Cena, Braun Strowman, hot damn, this was another really good match. Braun could have gotten disqualified a couple of times, but on the second attempt, he finally did after he introduced the stairs for a second time to John Cena's back. So, nonetheless, this brings me to our introduction that we had. Braun Strowman, in one night, destroys Brock Lesnar and destroys John Cena.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I hope they mention that on television somehow, because that is so historic and so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by the way, he lost the match.
But he won. But DQ, he counted.
He lost by, because he destroyed his opponent so badly that they had to stop the match and DQ him. Right?
You can lose a battle and win a war in one motion, and I think Braun Strowman conquered that tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that the ref kept on saying, don't you use those stairs. Yeah.
Don't you tell me what to do, little man.
Don't you do it.
We've said this many times on this show, but it keeps happening. So maybe it's worth saying again. They've done an awesome job with Braun Strowman, and this guy is rising to the occasion. Just everything is clicking with this guy and with his character, and has been for months. It's really working. This guy feels like he's going to be a major star in this company for a long time.
When he first showed up as part of the Wyatt family, I'm thinking, okay.
Yeah.
Right?
They found the scariest human on the planet.
Yeah. He was so huge. Like, he towered over Rowan. I didn't think anybody was very
good. It was rough at the beginning. The matches were rough.
Sure. And then, of course, when he first got on the mic, he had the exact voice that you would expect him to have when you look at him. Like, okay, he's got that.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, it's like he just became a prodigy. And in the last year, his progression is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Probably that yoga.
He's doing DDP yoga too.
Probably makes everything.
And we weren't here last week, but Rob was on last week, and he had an awesome cage match with Big Show last week. I mean, this guy is firing on all cylinders right now. It's just really working.
Yeah.
I mean, you sort of have your doubts when you see a guy come on to television who skipped NXT and has no real wrestling experience. You kind of have to scratch your head a little bit. But just when I saw him for the first time, I thought he had all the things necessary to be successful just standing. If he never moved, he'd still be successful.
Just like Great Khali.
He's friggin' tall and he's friggin' huge.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's all you really need. Just be big. But now he's proved himself. He's proved himself to be a commodity.
And his agility is insane.
I don't know who has taken him under their wing. I want to say it's Big Show partially has really kind of taken him aside and said, you know what, here's what you need to do. But somebody has definitely held his hand and done the real vet thing and brought this kid up.
It's insane. I mean, and his precision, like if you watch the stuff he does, yes, it looks just destructive, but you also see how he's really actually doing a great job with his opponent too. Mm-hmm. And that's the most impressive thing. Like, everything's under control, and God, he also has that slight twing of a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. Of a sense of humor.
It's kind
of
like when Cena did a drop kick, and he's like, I will see your drop kick and raise you a drop kick,
That's
sir.
That's right. Bigger boot!
Yeah.
Yeah. 385 pounds. My God almighty. But what a great match, though, him and Cena, and, you know, ends in a disqualification, but just having those two in the ring was something.
Oh, yeah. So. No. This was,
fun times.
I think everybody was looking forward to this, and it paid off. This felt like a real great Raw overall, and a lot of matches, too.
I don't know what next week can possibly have. Maybe they'll do some Vegas-y thing.
Yeah, probably spin the wheel sort of gimmick. They always do that.
Well, whatever it is, we know that it'll stay.
Mm-hmm. Ambrose and Rollins are backstage looking for tag team partners. They run into Jamie Noble and Dean Malenko. I was like, yeah.
But they're in suits. You can't have them wrestle in suits.
Well, that'd be a good match, actually.
But then they run into the Hardys, and Matt does a couple of, you know it's the well.
Yeah.
Not exactly.
Not just yet. Not just yet.
That wasn't it, Tony.
It's coming. It's coming.
Very close, it's coming though. Very soon. Close.
Got a learning curve.
But they were looking for tag team partners. I'm all discombobulated now. They were looking for tag team partners, and the Hardys agree. And Matt Hardy gives us a little bit of brokenness, which was very enjoyable.
Oh, he keeps teasing us with that.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
It's driving me crazy.
So we got to go Miz TV, because damn. Miz, first off, congratulations to Miz Maurice having a baby.
Yeah. Starting a family. Nice.
Mm-hmm. What a jerk Enzo was. Walks out and interrupts this beautiful moment.
Interrupting?
Jeez.
Interrupts Miz making an announcement.
Yeah. No wonder no one likes this guy backstage. You're trying to announce that you're having your first child and he just interrupts you?
Hey, always remember, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I think Enzo was everybody's hero for a moment.
Yeah, maybe.
That seemed like a long speech. Let's be honest. There were like three folds to the paper, so I don't know.
Well, Miz flat out gives it to him. First off, says, how dare you, how you doing my wife, which is great. He talks about how he's been kicked out of everything. Like, we're talking like backstage, behind the scenes stuff. He talks about 205 Live, about how he had no choice but to go there. Calls him a con artist with a couple of catchphrases. And all Enzo could really say is, you're a paper champion. Like, it's very rare to see Enzo lose a battle on the mic, but wow, did Miz give it to him.
Yeah.
I guess everybody's just going to be real on the mics.
Yeah, this is what's happening now, right?
Just, you know, we've gone into that era. Mm-hmm. So,
everybody's
pulling out their receipts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's tough because Enzo hasn't been around long enough. Mm. At least you could say the Miz has had, in his career, a pretty good arc. He started off really having to earn it, and now he's sort of achieved it.
Yeah.
You could say he's definitely come around. And Enzo is just getting there. He's still got a lot to prove, but I think he's proving it overall. He's proving that despite, you know, not having a great reputation, his work speaks for itself. When he grabs that mic, everybody listens. And you can't argue with somebody who is that strong, at least in one part of their overall abilities. Yeah, maybe the wrestling is taking a little while to get a hold of, but it doesn't really matter if the entire audience is with you. Mm-hmm. You can be a lovable loser as long as you're lovable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and let's be honest. I mean, every week, Miz has been with a piping hot tea. You know, he's been spitting truth. I mean, he's not.
Yeah.
He's not saying anything that isn't true.
Yeah. He's been doing this for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Enzo, I mean, look, like you said, he's money. When it comes down to it, he could be a 30-year manager if he wants to. The question is, what direction is his personality going to take him? We don't know. But after this whole segment, by the way, he gets destroyed by the Miztourage and then skull-crushing finale. And
but
back,
not before asking about the fidelity of the man's wife. That was what turned the tide.
Who's your daddy? Yeah.
And so the crowd will be forever asking the Miz or Maurice, who's your daddy?
Yeah.
That was straight out of the 90s.
So very, very poignant. Enzo will last forever. He has now touched Miz and Maurice in a way that cannot be washed off.
Well, at least for the next 7 to 9 months.
Even after that.
Well, maybe. That's a good point.
Eventually, they'll all be on Maury together.
Yeah.
Finding out.
Yeah. That kid comes out with a beard and cheetah-colored hair. You know who was really doing what.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point.
Maurice wouldn't spit on him, let's be honest.
Well, I don't know. The French like trashy things, you know? True. They love Jerry Lewis. They like things that they're not supposed to like. They're kinky that way.
Oh, goodness.
I got no follow-up for that one. Backstage, Enzo's all beat up, and Neville just starts laughing at him hysterically. God, I love Neville. All right, moving on. The main event, we have Sheamus and Cesaro and Anderson and Gallows taking on Rollins and Ambrose and the Hardys in a tag team match.
No!
What? What I'm talking about, y'all.
Mark and that face.
Get it, Mark. Get it, Mark. Mark looks like he just swallowed a lemon.
And he's just dancing through the sour.
Like, oh, man, it's lemon. It's not going away. Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, God.
So, yes, these four teams doing it up. High knee into the dirty deed, Seth Rollins for the win over Carl Anderson. Overall thoughts in this main event here, Boxcar Superstar.
A lot of stuff happened.
A lot of stuff happened. A
lot of movement, a lot of motion, a lot of flying through the air. You know, it's how it goes. Eight-man matches, a lot of moving parts.
Yep,
a lot of fun. Moving parts. But it is interesting that the champions did win the match. And in quite a dominant fashion, might I add. They definitely separated all of the necessary partners from one individual being Carl Anderson, and bada bing, bada boom, he's down.
This is something that I think, you know, when it comes to this rivalry, I think we will see more next Monday on Raw. Like, I think a couple rivalries, we might see it not a whole lot next week. I think these two, something's going to go down. I think some team's going to get beat up pretty bad.
I thought this was weird placement of this match as the main event, and then I remembered that tonight is the beginning of Monday Night Football season, and we will see 17 weeks of weird placement of matches, because they do sort of try to counter-program the football games a little bit and arrange things so certain things are on at halftime of the game. So there's going to be more set of, I think, weird kind of flow to the show over football season.
Yeah.
It happens every year.
Cena Strowman was very strategically placed, I think, and Roman Reigns kicking off the show also very...
Yeah, it happens every year.
Watch us.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. The formula gets old after a while.
Yeah,
once you notice there's a formula, it's just like, oh, well, this again, and again, and again. And if you change it up, then people notice, oh, well, this is different. I'm engaged.
And I also, I'm hooked. Mm-hmm. I like seeing different people getting opportunities in the main event.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
We had the women's match a couple weeks ago, the women's title match, this match. It is nice.
Yeah,
and I also like the fact that now when women do headline a Raw, per se, no one even thinks twice about it.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, yeah, of course. Like, it's not a big deal anymore, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Something fun with this one is that I just really loved how well the Hardy Boys worked with, you know, do we have a name for them yet, or are they still just Rollins and Ambrose?
I call them the shh, because they're part of the Shield. They're not the full Shield, so they're just
the
shh.
They're
the
butler.
They're the
shh.
They're she.
Yeah,
buckler.
They're the she.
They're the 66.6.
Buckler.
They're the 66.67%.
But
I like with their you know, they're very separate styles. And yes, obviously, roll bros are.
Sure.
Sethine, I don't know. obviously, they're not working together like Cesaro does or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I really loved how they brought all of their different moving parts into this. I mean, we saw twists of fates. We didn't get a swanton, which I was kind of hoping for that. But still, the way that the Hardy Boys, like, guarded the ring just so that, you know, Seth could get that win, I was like, that's great.
It's 25 years.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love seeing that story happen.
And how exciting was it last week to see Jeff in a singles match for a title? That was, like, the Wayback Machine. Really cool. And he brought it, too. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But overall, like you said, Hobo, really good Raw.
Eight matches in total this evening, which is like, let's say, 2 over average.
Also,
usually it's 6.
Good matches. They all had
a lot of good matches.
And they built them well, too. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, oh, here's a match. I mean, granted, there was some of that, but there was actually a good amount of build to a lot of these, and a lot of things that sort of didn't connect, a tag team match that turned into an 8-man tag, but later in the evening, it worked. Tonight really worked. They have brought their A game, arguably, to counter football, but that's fine.
Hey.
We all have to fight football in the wrestling business.
We have to, no matter where you want entertainment, you got to fight football. Comedy, same thing.
Yeah.
You know, so we definitely enjoyed Raw. What did you guys think? That's pretty much the show, everybody. So, Mark Warzeka, pull yourself over.
I want to say, please go to BookerTLive.com and check out that show that we're having here coming up September 24th for Hurricane Relief. And also, myself and Scott Narver, who hosts the SmackDown AfterBuzz After Show, we're both going to be in Vegas tomorrow for SmackDown for the Mae Young Classic Final. So, if you're going, you're going to be there, and you're a listener, tweet at us. Let us know. We'd love to meet you and say hi.
Get photos.
Be out there.
Yeah. That'll be cool.
Hello.
At True Hobo on the Twitter and the Instagram. Let's see. NXT.Spreadshirt.com is where you can get the shirts. I'm on the NXT After Show on Wednesday at 6 o'clock right after Live NXT. And this Saturday, I'll be wrestling for the Empire Wrestling Federation in San Bernardino at 7 p.m. I'll be wrestling their champion, Fidel Bravo. So hey. I'm going to be a champion at another company again. That's good.
Good. It's about time.
Yeah. Yeah. Fidel Bravo's a pushover. I'm not concerned.
Okay.
Tell him I said so.
I could tell him I said so. Yeah. Markia.
Yeah, you can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at Markia McCarty. That's M-A-R-K-E-I-A-M-C-C-A-R-T-Y. And also on our sister network, Popcorn Talk, tomorrow, Tuesday at 2 p.m., which is our new time. And we will always be on at 2 p.m., Marvel Movie News. Mm-hmm. And then also this week, you'll be catching me on Screen Junkies News and then also Skybound. So I'll tweet about that. If that's not this week, then it'll be next week because my calendar is in my phone and not in my head. So, yeah, see you there.
Good deal. At Jay Quasto, the Wrestling Compadre Slamcast, the past few weeks we had Tessa Blanchard, we had Bianca Belair. I think we're going to have Toni Storm this week, possibly the winner of the Mae Young Classic. We're going to be recording on Wednesday because we want to find out who won the Mae Young Classic and also see SmackDown as well. And, of course, Mark and Scotty are going to SmackDown. And also Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. Wow, what an event we had this past Sunday at our TV tapings. Alberto El Patron was there. Him and Ryan Taylor put on a classic as we lead up to our debut with the CW. Starting October 7th, we will be on 110 CW stations across the country, Saturday mornings across the board. So for all of you who wanted to check it out, you hear us talking about it all the time, you have now a better chance than ever to check it out. So please hit me up on social media. I will give you all the information for that. So other than that, guys, thank you so
much. Just real quick. Sorry, yeah. I totally forgot. Yes, Mae Young Classic. Wednesday, 7 p.m. is going to be the finals. Catch us on the AfterBuzz TV after show for that. It's me and a full panel of females, including Nisa, who I believe is in our chat room tonight. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Come see us Wednesday at 7 p.m. We will be discussing the final and everything leading up to the finals. It is well worth it to join us with that energy.
Digging that. And lastly, QuastoAlbum.com. Pick up the new comedy album, made the Billboard Top 10. You'll be so glad you did. Thanks, guys. See you next week. Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Really?
Buzz, see you later.
Yes, yes, really.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.